chapter 6 of Proverbs. Let's start reading about verse 17. We're just going to read one of these seven things. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Verse 17, a proud look. That's all we need out of there. Turn over one more chapter, or two more chapters, to chapter 8. Let's start reading the first verse. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. This is wisdom speaking here. When wisdom speaks, we ought to listen. Amen? You don't have to necessarily perk your ears up every time I say something. What I say isn't always that important. I'm sure there's a number of frivolous things that come forth from my mouth, but this is wisdom speaking here. And we should pay heed. We should listen to this. Verse 6, hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. Verse 10, receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Verse 12, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. That's wisdom speaking. Talking about pride again. There's a number of ways that we can look at it, but no matter what verse you read, there's all sorts of them. God hates pride. Has despised it from eons and ago. Never has he enjoyed it. Never has he liked it. Never has he even tolerated it. God doesn't like pride. God doesn't like us to have a proud air about us. God hates it. And it's easy to condemn when we see that real proud, arrogant look. It's easy to look out and see that and to realize that that's something that we ought to be against. Even in that scripture, I think it's over in Luke 18, with the Pharisee and the publican. When I read that, I don't have any problem picking out the good fella and picking out the bad one. I mean, the Pharisee's standing up there saying, Lord, I'm so thankful that I'm not like all these other men. And he's just got that air about him. He's got that proud look, got that proud spirit. And the publican over there beating his chest, saying, have mercy on me, a sinner. And when I read that, it's not hard for me to pick out which one's the good fella and which one the Lord is going to speak well of. Because pride is that way. Sometimes it's easy to recognize when we see it coming our way. And it's easy to pick up when we see those obvious things of pride. But sometimes when it's turned around the other way and when we're the ones that have that proud attitude or that prideful spirit, sometimes it's not as easy to pick up. And sometimes even the pride in the good things God doesn't like. And the pride in the things that he maybe asks us to do. We've got to be careful not to be proud in those things. Luke chapter 15 is the story of the prodigal son. And I like the way Brother Burkett put it towards the end there of that story. You've got the bad son with the good spirit, and you've got the good son with the bad spirit. He didn't do anything. He never went out and squandered his dad's money. I mean, that good son was there at the house doing the chores, taking care of whatever dad wanted taken care of. He didn't go out and wallow with the hogs and get to such a destitute spot that he had to come home broke and desolate and without a penny to his name, squandering all that his dad gave him. The good son never did any of that. The good son never went out and brought shame to his family, never went out with riotous living. He didn't do any of that. He was home the whole time doing what he should be doing, behaving the way he should behave, acting just like God wanted him to do. But then here comes that bad son back home again with that good spirit, and they're killing the fatted calf, and they're putting the robe on him, and they're giving him the ring, and they're making the big party for him, and there comes that jealous spirit in there. And he starts getting prideful about the good things that he had done. And he said, he's upset. He said, and where's the good son at? He's out somewhere sulking. He's out somewhere pouting around because he thinks you ought to be doing a little bit more for him. He thinks you ought to be giving him a little bit more attention because he's got some pride in the fact that he weren't like this fellow over here. He's almost like that Pharisee. I wasn't like the bad son. I've been doing good all this time. Sometimes we need to be careful that we don't have pride in some of those good things. Now turn over to Luke chapter 10. In the New Testament, Luke chapter 10, pride in the good things. We need to be like the spirit of the bad son. not necessarily like the bad son, but we need to have his spirit. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whither he himself would come. He's sending them out now, two by two. They're going to go out. He's giving them instructions on down through there, different things that they should do. And he's sending them out to witness and sending them out to proclaim the gospel. Over in verse 17, he's giving them instructions. They went out, and here they come again. And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. I mean, they're happy now. They've been out on the field for a while. They've been out holding the revivals. They've been out holding the camp meetings. And man, they've seen devils come out. They've seen miracles happen because of the power that the Lord gave them. And because of His Spirit that He instilled in them. And they come back leaping and jumping and high on the hog, almost with an air of pride about them because of the things that God had done through them. They had done some good deeds. There wasn't anything wrong with what they did. There wasn't anything wrong with the miracles. There wasn't anything wrong with casting out the devils. There wasn't anything wrong with all the wonderful things that they seen God work through them. But they came back and rejoicing about it, saying, Lord, look at this. Even the devils are subject to us. You wouldn't believe what we seen out there. Man, we was top dog. I mean, when we came into a town, everybody trembled. When we came into a situation, I mean, they all hit their knees and worried about what we was going to do. We were the top dog. We were the king of the hill, Lord. You wouldn't have believed it. You should have seen us out there. If you should see me now. I mean, they were just top of the hill, king of the hill. And it always amazed me as I read this next verse, what immediately came to the Lord's mind. And what when he seen them come back with that spirit, when he seen them come back with rejoicing in the miracles that had happened, rejoicing in the healings and the devils that had been cast out, rejoicing in the wrong thing, when he seen them come back, the very first thing popped in his mind, he said to them, verse 18, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. That's the very, when they had that spirit, that's the very thing that popped into his mind. When you speak of a prideful spirit, when you speak of someone exalting themselves, there is no better example than Satan. There is no better example than Lucifer when he was in heaven, getting to the point and wanting to be like God, wanting to be in the place of God to the place where they had to cast him out, bringing with him a third of the angels. When you think of a prideful spirit and a prideful attitude and something that you shouldn't want to have, that's the example you think of, brother. And they come home, those 70 are coming back and they're rejoicing, they're lifting up praise and they're just going on about how wonderful it's been. And Christ stops and he says, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven, because he's got the same spirit you've got now. He told them that you talk about a wet blanket on the fire, he threw it right then and there. He said, you stop in your tracks and listen to me. Behold, verse 19, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. I mean, we got just a little bit of a glimpse there into why God hates pride the way he does. This isn't just Christ that was 33 years old or 32 years old or whatever he may have been here. This was the eternal Christ, the one that had been there since the foundation of the world, the one that had been there before there were any angels, the one that had been there before there were any man on earth to worship him. This is Christ that was there and seen it all. And he stopped them in their tracks and he said, you got the same attitude Satan had. And I want you to stop it right now, because that's not what we ought to rejoice in. Yeah, you do have power. Yeah, there ain't anything that can hurt you out there when I'm on your side. Brother Collins says, the devil can't kill you till God's through with you. And I believe that with all of my heart. If God's got a work for you to do, and if you're in his will, I don't think we have anything to fear. Especially things that can touch this mortal body. I mean, this isn't anything. And if you're in his will, I don't think we have anything to fear. Especially things that can touch this mortal body. I mean, this isn't anything. When you talk about an eternal soul, what can hinder this mortal body isn't anything. But if God's got a work for us to do in this mortal body, then he's going to take care of the mortal body until we get it done. If we're in his will, and there's no reason to fear. There's no reason to be afraid of the things that Satan can bring on us. But let's don't have pride in the fact that God's going to protect us. Let's have pride in the fact that he even cares enough about us. And our name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, that he has saved us, that he has brought us out of that miry pit. There's where our joy should be. And there, if we're going to do any exalting, lift him up, because he's the one that's did that, because he's the one that's brought us through. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. That's the first thing popped into his mind when he seen them coming back acting the way they were. I mean, that's a bad comparison. I mean, they talk about comparing apples with oranges and things don't line up. This apparently was apples with apples. I mean, their spirit was just like Satan's, and he stopped it right in its tracks. We've got to be careful when it comes to pride, even over the good things, even over the things that we can be thankful that God has done, the miraculous things. We've got to be careful. I think sometimes of the big healing ministries of the past, and have talked with Randy about different ministers that were part of that, and became burdened in my heart as to why we don't see some of those things now. And I don't know, but it seems to me that probably somewhat to do with it is the fact that as those ministries would grow, men would exalt those ministers to a higher and higher pedestal and be lifting them up for the things that went on at that meeting. And I'm talking about the A.A. Allens and the early Oral Roberts and the different things that went on in those tent crusades and those healing crusades of decades ago. And as I think about him, I think probably some of that pride came into play, and probably some of that proudful spirit that when God did something, they wasn't careful to make sure he got the credit for it. When God did something, they weren't careful to make sure that they were just the vessel through which he was flowing. But they sometimes thought that they were the ones that were doing the pouring out, and they were the ones that were doing the healing. They were the ones that were doing the miracles instead of God through them doing the miracles. And sometimes I think if we want to see some of those things today like we've seen before, then we've got to get to the place where no matter what anybody says to us, no matter how much people lift us up, no matter how much we might feel like we're being exalted, we're going to make sure God gets the glory for everything that's done. We're going to make sure God is the one lifted up. When he does it, you can guarantee he wants the credit for it, Brother Andy. And when he's the one that does it, he wants to make sure no one else but him gets the glory and gets the credit. Mike preached it during the revival. Get thy glory, Lord. That's the way I feel. I mean, if we're going to have the right attitude that God can use, if we're going to have the right attitude that God can get a hold of and do anything he wants with, then we're going to have to be the kind of person that gets pride completely out of the way. And says, God, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how miraculous it may seem. God, once it's done, you get the glory. Once it's done, you're the one that's done the miracle. Once it's done, you're the one that's done the mighty work. Not me. Not me or not us. I mean, we need to watch ourselves and make sure I want to see some of those healings again. I want to see some of those mighty works again that we talked about. I want to see some of those things. But I want to get to the place where if God needs me to be more humble than I am, then I'll say yes to that. If God needs me to, like John the Baptist said, I must decrease, that he must increase. I mean, here's somebody that's got a ministry going already. Here's somebody that's got a following going already, and Christ isn't even on the scene. John the Baptist has got all the people gathering around him. He's baptizing. He's got the crowds coming. He's got the tent revival. He's got the Canvas Cathedral in operation, brother. And here is somebody who, if he wasn't careful, as soon as Christ come on the scene, could have got that proudful spirit, could have got that little bit of arrogance, and could have said, listen, I was having meetings before you ever came around. I was drawing crowds before you ever come over here. I was getting people to come to the meeting before they even heard of Jesus Christ. But John the Baptist stood up and he said, there's the one. And he said, I've got to decrease so that he could increase. John the Baptist, never a mightier man. John the Baptist, he said, I've got to decrease so that one can increase. That's the one I'm talking about right there. I'm just the voice crying in the wilderness, making the way for that one over there. There's a lot of people today that if they would have got that job, they would have kept it. I mean, as soon as Christ would have came on the scene, they would have done anything they could to say that wasn't him, so they could keep that job, keep that status that they had attained. But Christ wants us to be humble. Christ doesn't want us to have that spirit of proud arrogance about us. So if you're preaching on pride, what does God want? He doesn't want pride. So what does he want? 1 Peter. Flip over to 1 Peter. We'll be through just a little bit. 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's find out what God does want if he doesn't want the pride, if he doesn't want the arrogant spirit. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Sometimes I dare to say, if some of us went around clothed in humility, we'd be pretty close to having nothing on at all. We would just about be naked when it comes to being clothed with humility. But that's what it says here. There's all sorts of verses telling us that God doesn't like pride, but there's also all sorts of verses telling us that He likes the humble spirit, that He likes the humility, that He likes the one that says, "God, I didn't do this, God did this." That He likes the kind of spirit that says, "It isn't anything for me, I'm just here to serve Him. It doesn't matter what happens to me, I'm just here to lift Him up. It doesn't matter what becomes of me, just so long as His goal and His vision is put forth, His gospel is proclaimed. That's all I'm here for, that's all I care about, to see Christ lifted up. It doesn't matter if anybody says here that He will exalt you in due time. I mean, we can be doing a whole bunch of good works and nobody's saying a thing about it, but rest assured, it may be in this lifetime, it may not be in this lifetime, but you can rest assured, in due time, God will exalt that humble spirit. And God will lift up that one that's clothed in humility. God will set you up in the place where you should be if on this earth you remain humble before Him in a spirit of humility. I didn't expect anybody to shout a whole lot on this one. I told you, I'm just going to tell you what's on my heart, and I'm not sure why, but I didn't really expect a big shouting meeting. But God wants us to have a humble spirit. God wants us to be a humble person clothed with humility.